Well, Dr. Ronald Kramer is a senior lecturer in sociology at the University of Auckland. He argues it's the latter. Good evening to you, Dr. Kramer.
Hi, how are you?
Good, thank you. What concerns you about publicly documenting the country's wealthiest people?
I don't think I'm so worried about the particular list and its expression. What kind of worries me more is the underlying kind of representation of inequality that it presents and puts out there for consumption.
Does it represent inequality? I mean, when you look at that sort of upper 1 or 2% of New Zealand, are you really comparing those people with the very poor in this country? Or is inequality something that sort of stretches more across not the super rich, but the wealthy, the middle class, the working class, and the working poor?
Well, I think when I think about inequality these days, we're talking about growing disparities between a top 1 to 10% and the next 80% of the population. So I think that's the most disturbing element of all of this. And so much of that wealth accumulation that gets celebrated at that top end and is held up as inspirational is actually unattainable for most, and it's usually a product of 80% of the population suffering and being excluded from that kind of wealth wealth generation.
Is there, to some degree, you know, some kind of intrigue? You know, a lot of people watch and click on stories about Kim Kardashian, you know, but I don't aspire to be like that. I'll never look like Kim Kardashian. You know, to a certain degree, I look at this sort of rich list. I know that I'm never going to be someone like Sir Stephen Tyndall either, but I'm quite intrigued about what he's done with his money and the elements of philanthropy to a lot of our most wealthy, the likes of Gareth Morgan, Suray Avery. All of those people are really addressing these issues of inequality.
Well, I'd sort of disagree with that. I think the philanthropy angle that you often hear in these stories is sort of part of the same ideological agenda. So I'll give you one quick example. Bill Gates' estimated net worth is $90 billion. So he can give away $45 billion of that, and we're still talking about, you know, an extremely wealthy person. He can give away $89 billion and still be fine and much more well off than most other people. So I think we have to put the context of this, the kind of wealth accumulation we're now talking about, into that kind of context.
Yeah, I get what you're saying, but then he's got the Bill Gates Foundation, and he single-handedly is doing a remarkable job in Africa at trying to find a cure for malaria. Now, there's no government or no world body that could invest that sort of money into finding a cure that kills so many people in the third world.
That's precisely the problem, is that governments have so backtracked from these kinds of obligations. And part of the reasons why they can't do these kinds of things is because they allow this kind of wealth accumulation to occur. And so we're left with whether Bill Gates or not thinks, you know, curing malaria is a good idea or a worthwhile cause. That, to me, is actually the fundamental problem.
At the same time, Bill Gates, and, you know, he's perhaps the wrong example to use, but, you know, some of these incredibly wealthy people are employing an extraordinary number of people. They are creating wealth in other individuals' lives. They're contributing to economies with their sheer spend. They're creating jobs and contributing to, you know, GDP in all these countries.
That's the argument you often hear, and that's certainly a part of it. But the other side of that is that a lot of capitalist accumulation is dependent upon job destruction, right? So 10 years ago when I went to a bank, there was a lot of people working there. Now I primarily deal with machines. I see the same thing in the supermarket. Most people's working life has gotten worse under these.
It's because of technology and digitization, though, isn't it?
Right. Technology and sort of also just what's happening in labour markets. You know, the last 30 years, most people
have lost
job security.
What's the solution to that, though? You know, do you have people still counting out money in banks, or do you have ATM machines?
Well, I would be thinking the fundamental problem to that is rethinking sort of a lot of these capitalist dynamics and the extent to which we want to take them for granted. The problem that I see with a lot of these lists is that they don't question these capitalist dynamics. You know, philanthropy only occurs after people have accumulated all this kind of wealth, oftentimes through exploitation, you know, paying people poorly, getting rid of a lot of jobs or inherited wealth, so on and so forth,
okay.
or tax breaks, all that kind of thing. So I think we need to be careful, and we need to really think about the scale of the disparities that are occurring and how governments are contributing to that.
Okay. Donald Kramer, we have to leave it there, but thank you for your perspective this afternoon, a senior lecturer in sociology at the University of Auckland.